head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So,
and
here's Rick.
Here we are on the Rusty Satellite Show, the city's longest-running, most interesting podcast. Wouldn't you agree? My guest in the studio is Melissa Marvel.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm doing great. The Rusty Satellite Show has been going a long time. And, I love doing it because there's always something cool. And all the most interesting people in the Ville are always here on the show.
Wow.
Like you.
Thank you. And yes, I would certainly agree. The longest and most exciting.
All right, Melissa. Well, you're here because you're my first guest on the show, and you're with the Zoom group. And so we're going to be talking about some cool stuff coming up pretty soon, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah,
very good. Well, you're probably curious about what else is going on in the show besides the wonderful segment you're going to be on. So here it is. First of all, I want to tell you my show, the Rusty Satellite Show, is brought to you by Passport Health Plan, and where you can find a bunch of great stories about people that I've written about, actually, on passportwellbeing.com. Also by Heiser Health, another one related to me. I am back to my pre-vacation weight thanks to the diet and nutrition plan that Peggy Heiser over at Heiser Health put me on. And our other sponsor, of course, is the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau, which brings you every week the Bourbon City guest of the week. And this week I have a really, really cool story. I think I went over into Shively. You've been to Shively,
Melissa? I've been to Shively.
Okay. Know all about Shively. Well, in Shively, there's did you know that Michter's is the bourbon maker is based in Shively?
I did not know that they were there. No.
This is why you listen to the Rusty Satellite Show every week, so you learn the stuff.
Be in the know.
But I talked to Andrea Wilson. She's got a really interesting title. She is the Master of Maturation.
And what is maturation?
That's a pretty cool title.
That is cool.
Well, stay tuned. You'll hear all about that and about Michter's and their downtown tourist attraction that's coming in the fall. The Fort Nelson building right in Maine's coming very soon. So that's what's going on. And the second part of the show, Andrea is my second guest, and I had a great time over there. I'd not been there, so it was pretty fun. So that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. And I'm so happy to have Melissa Marvel in the studio with me. And Melissa, you have, like all of us, it's Derby Week. So the quintessential question is, how's your Derby Week going?
Derby Week is going well. It's always a very busy week, and there are so many opportunities for anyone to partake. You've got festival events. You've got the track. I mean,
Yeah. But what are you doing?
I'm enjoying the track.
Go out yesterday to the track.
I did.
And didn't win any money, you told me.
I did not win any money. I did not lose a whole lot either, so I'm proud of that. But it was a great day. I think yesterday was one of the most beautiful weather days that we've had in quite some time.
We are being blessed with great weather. I was out there on the backside this morning.
Ah.
And that's just a great day. You ever done that?
It's been years, but the backside is tremendous to watch them work out in the morning.
Yeah.
And to see
get up close and personal with the horses. I saw Justify walk by, and did you know Justify is like the big favorite?
One of them. I understand it's a very tight year this year. I think it's going to be hard to figure out that.
Yeah, there's a lot of good horses in the race this year, and that makes it exciting in many different ways. Justify is a big, strong-looking horse. I tell you, he walked right by me. Bob Baffert led the way at 7:30. They bring the Derby horses and the Oaks horses out onto the track. So that was a very exciting thing because people that are there get pretty excited. Everybody's saying that the crowds over there are bigger this
year. Huge, yes. They comment on it every morning that there's more than they've seen in the past.
That's right.
All the events seemingly are having a lot more attendees as well. So
you went Tuesday, a big, big crowd at
It was.
There?
It was. And I guess yesterday was their new event day, the Champions Day.
Oh, yeah, the Champions Day. So
I think it was a hit.
Okay. Well, it was a hit for you, a hit for me. I'm going out Thursday and probably on Derby Day because that's the thing to do. Got to be there on Derby Day. And so anyway, we're going to take a break, Melissa, and we're going to come back and talk about the Zoom group.
Sounds great.
And the stuff that's coming up.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And we're back here on a very exciting Derby week in Louisville, Kentucky. And my guest in this segment is Melissa Marvel. Melissa Ann Marvel, I read on Facebook and all that stuff about you. You are the CEO of Zoom Group.
Yes, I am.
So what do you tell people who say, what's Zoom Group?
Well, I tell them, first off, we are not an IT company, because it's the first thing that comes to mind every time I greet someone. But Zoom Group is an organization that has been around for over 30 years, and we provide vocational training for individuals with disabilities. And so it's a broad spectrum approach for anyone that has any type of disability diagnoses. And our attempt is to help them find a vocation, find something that they're passionate about to pursue their adult career path.
Okay. Okay. So basically, it help people get jobs.
Yes.
And these are people with what kind of disabilities?
We primarily focus on individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, but we also will work with individuals that have life-acquired disabilities as well. And basically what typically happens is you become aware of Zoom Group through a case manager or word of mouth, and the individual or their guardian or whomever is helping them work towards this vocational goal will come and meet with our membership individual that's an intake, and we'll do an interview, and we'll get to know the individual personally and talk about what their goals and ambitions are, and okay. then try to find opportunities that we currently have available, or to engage with our community employers and see if we can't make a employer in our community match with one of the opportunities the individual might be seeking.
So give me an example of what type of person you might come across, or what kind of job you might find.
We've got one individual that came to us, and it's not something that comes to us often, but it's very specific that he liked to work with cars. Mm-hmm. And so with his skill set, it was came kind of apparent to our employer job coaches that he might be very well suited to work in a car wash environment. So mm-hmm. we reached out to the community and worked with car wash entities in the community to see if they would be willing to interview this gentleman and see if it would be a good fit for employment. And that's the type of work that we do. And then the follow-up behind that is, once we have an individual in a position and he's working well, the job coach is always there in the background. So if he has a job responsibility change, or he has a management change and this individual needs supports in that area, they can always come back to Zoom Group and our coaches will be there to help.
So it's not really an employment agency, but it's more of a social service.
It's falling into the category of health and social services, and we are regulated by the state. So the state makes certain that we follow all the rules and regulations in providing these supports to the individuals we serve. Many of the individuals are what is called a supported community living waiver, or Michelle P waiver.
Okay.
And those are provided by the state, and then we provide supports to those individuals. We also accept private pay for anyone that does not have a waiver through the state. So they would be open to the same type of opportunity we provide. You're asking about, are we like an employment agency? To some degree, yes, because at this point in our lives, because we start serving families at the age of 14. So we have pre-employment transitional services that are available to anyone in our community that would like to reach out to us. But primarily, we start one-on-one with the individual when they become an adult and they wish to seek their vocation in employment. And so it does seem like an employment agency to some degree, but we are there with vocational training as well as employment placement.
And this isn't a small thing, though. I mean, you told me you had some sort of 140 people or something working for Zoom Group.
Currently, we serve over 200 individuals that have some type of intellectual, developmental, or life-acquired disability. Of that, we have about 150 that are actually out there working in our community, doing vocational training with employee partners such as UPS, We also have the VA contracts to do the linen, laundry, janitorial grounds, maintenance contracts at the Robley Rex Medical Center here in Louisville, Kentucky. And we do both the Louisville and Lexington laundry. So we employ quite a few individuals in various locations. We are also have an opportunity for individuals. It's our flagship program. It's called Studio Works. It's at the corner of Eastern Parkway and Bardstown Road. And, and there we support about 45 individuals that focus primarily on art. And they receive...
It's right next to Qdoba, right?
It's across the street. It sure is. Absolutely. Right. You've got it marked. And those individuals work daily on different types of medium and are trained in art and pursue their type of art that they desire to work. But it's also available for sale. And those individuals earn their keep through their commission sales. So it's very creative in nature. It's a wonderful site. If you're in town visiting for the Derby and you want to see a really unique flagship studio that provides these individuals a great opportunity to display their many talents, please stop in. We're open.
I'd love to. Speaking of things people can do, I know you got a big event coming up, and smartly not during Derby week, but It's a cool event with some big names attached to it.
It has some great names this year, and we feel very blessed. But it's Spring Zing, and it's going to be held May 17th, which is a Thursday evening.
Thursday night.
And it's 6 to 9 p.m. It's a very tightly run event. We have auction, both live, silent, a program, and dinner. And we are blessed. We have our mistress of ceremonies is Dawn G with Wave 3.
Okay.
We have the auction.
Former Rusty Satellite guest. Yes.
There you go.
Wonderful person.
And we have the auctioneer extraordinaire Kevin Harned with Wave 3 as well.
Okay.
And he also has a partner, Bill Minish. Couldn't go without giving him kudos as well. And then we have a wonderful keynote speaker this year, Tori Merton McClure. Would you like to interject who she is? Because you know who she is.
Well, she rode a boat across the big body of water, and I know she's the president at Spalding.
She is.
Right?
And one thing that she's also shares with many in the community is her brother, Lamar, actually works. His employment is through ZoomWorks, one of our programs
personal
at
connection.
Zoom Group. Yes, so there's a real personal connection, and one person that takes a challenge and makes the most of it is she. She's a remarkable individual, and we cannot wait for her to speak to empowerment and just being fearless.
Wow,
and
very good.
Yes.
Well, you know, maybe we can get her on the Rusty Satellite Show at some point. That'd be
would be great for
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do that. And I guess you've done this event for many years. How long have you been over there, Melissa?
I am going on my third year. So this will be my very first Spring Zing was my very first day. so I don't think that one quite counts, but this will be my second year as the president and CEO for the event, and very excited. We also have David DeSanctis is our mission moment, and he's an individual that has Down syndrome, and he was the actor in Where Hope Grows. So we are honored to have him. He too will talk about education and empowerment and employment and how his career has taken off with his challenges with Down syndrome, but he's been quite the success. So it will be an exciting evening, and we encourage the community to come. This is our biggest fundraiser. The vocational training opportunities and the reimbursement rates. We need people in our community to come support what we do. I hope that by being on your show and allowing us to convey what we do, that employers in our community, in our region, in our state can think about what opportunities they might have to engage individuals with these disabilities in their place of employment. It's a win-win. These individuals have great work ethic. They are known to bring great joy to the workplace that may not have been there prior.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. I can tell you're passionate about it. How did you get involved in this? It seems like you are really into the work.
I love having an impact, positive impact. I want to give to the world versus take to the world. So it's a personal passion thing. It's not that I set out on a course. I was very blessed as a consultant that I was brought into. I'm a CPA by trade, and I was working with a consulting agency that works with nonprofits in our community, and they needed a CFO to come and assist the organization for an interim time. And I agreed to take on the work, and you can't take on the work without getting to know the people. And I got to know the people, I got to know the leadership in the organization, and the individuals that are what we call team members in our organization. And boy, once you get to that point, there's pretty much no turning back. So
they couldn't get rid of you now.
No, and I know no, no. I don't know that they'll ever get rid of me. In the sense that I will, no matter what happens, I will always want to participate in some form or fashion with the organization. But yes, I mean, it's seeing the work that the individuals in our organization do, the staff, and how you have to know each one of the individuals we support individually. Mm-hmm. And the effort and the passion with which our individuals work to help and assist these other individuals that need our services, it's very rewarding. At the end of the day, we're exhausted. We are absolutely worn out. But
well, I guess, without your service, people who have these disabilities and they go through the education system and they're like in the, I know there's a lot of like schools up to high school or up to like the high school level. Mm-hmm. And you know, once you're done there, you can't keep going back to the daycare or the day activities, right? And so sometimes these people sort of get like stuck out with nothing to do.
Yes, one of our goals for Zoom Group is to be there for the community, to help the community know that there are other avenues, and we need to spread the word. We, being Zoom Group, need to do a better job. But we want the community to know that when you do have a child that's in transition and you do have those concerns, please reach out to us, because that's what we do. And right. We are advocates, we are educators, and we will work with the families or the guardians to help transition, because it's a quick... I know from raising... I have two sons, and although I do not have a need for the same supports, I do know how quickly my two young men have grown up in front of me. And that period between a freshman year in high school and that senior year in high school goes like a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. And that's where we need to be helping the families and those that are the guardians of individuals that will eventually need these supports. We want to be there for you and help smooth that and make it as seamless as possible.
All right. Well, thank you, Melissa. We got to wrap it up now. Let's at least give people an opportunity to how they get a hold of you. How they get a hold of you.
Zoomgroup.org is the easiest way to get a hold of us. You can call 502-581-0658 and just check us out. We have tickets available for our gala that we were speaking of on May 17th, Thursday, with Tori Merton McClure and David DeSanctis. We would welcome you to come. We thank our sponsors, Brown Foreman, UPS, Tzatziki's, and many others, because I know he's wanting to wrap up. So please just join us, zoomgroup.org.
All right, Melissa, I think you got it all in. And I appreciate you coming by the studio. It's really great. And
thank you.
Hope you enjoy the rest of your Derby week.
You as well, and may you be a big winner.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
All right, and a big thank you to Melissa Marvel for coming into the Louisville.am studios here in St. Matthews to talk about the Zoom Group. And the Zoom Group event is coming up on May 17th. If you are interested in the show, any aspect of the show, want to get in touch with us, follow what we're doing, we have a Twitter account at Rusty Satellite that you can follow. There's also plenty of information about the Rusty Satellite Show on Facebook. And we would love it if you went on iTunes, subscribed, and left us a review. That would be really, really great. So, been doing the show. This is show number 252, and it's a it's a joy to be with you. My name is Rick Redding. I, for those of you may not know anything about my past, I was a journalist. I was a reporter at Business First for many years, and ran my own blog, the first online news blog in the city, called The Ville Voice, for many years. So this part of the show is where I get to talk about some of the things that I've noticed around town that are newsworthy, that, like, in my blogging days I would have blogged about. Like, for example, my buddy Chris Thieneman, if you haven't seen, this is kind of a funny story. He is really really working hard to get an anti-Mike O'Connell campaign for county attorney. He, you may remember on this show a few weeks ago, we had Brent Ackerson, who is running against O'Connell in the election for county attorney that's coming up. And so Chris has taken it to an extreme. And now, I live down in Clifton, and I've noticed that across the street at the Barber Lee's parking lot, Chris is taken to parking a big panel truck. And on the side of that panel truck, it says, "Vote out Mike O'Connell, county attorney." I think it says Louisville's child predator protector, or sexual predator protector. Chris's beef with O'Connell is that he believes that O'Connell protected the police officers who were committing sexual assaults on young people in the Youth Explorer program. And that may or may not be true. I'm not going to get into a discussion here about the things that are up in the air, but the campaign tactics are hilarious. At the Chris went around, like, last week, he's taking that truck all over town at big public events, including, like, the Cherokee Triangle Art Fair last week, and Chris was there, and he posts all this stuff on Facebook. You can follow him. It's really interesting. I am certainly with Ackerson, and I think the things about O'Connell, there's a lot of things. O'Connell is a typical old school politician, and he does things like the thing that irritates me the most is that if you work, and I think there's like 400 employees in the county attorney's office that report to O'Connell, there's an expectation that you're going to give to the campaign as part of the reason that you get to keep your job. And that has been proven. Ackerson talked to me about that. There's a lot of old school things. And O'Connell, in my experience, he's kind of a bully too, and not well liked by a lot of people. So going to be watching that race really, really closely. Also, another big political story going on this week, Derby week, is the governor. You know, it's going to make me puke to see him giving out that Derby trophy at Churchill Downs on Saturday. But, you know, this guy is really out of control in his thirst for power. And now he wants to take over the Jefferson County public school system. He's meeting with a lot of opposition, but his appointed, you know, he got rid of, you know, the state's education department. He got rid of all the existing people, put his own guys in, elected a interim commissioner, a guy named Wayne Lewis, who is certainly on board with him. They are all pro charter schools. And, you know, it's like he had Lewis do a tour of the schools and get to do some research. And there was this audit that came back. And, like, did you really think anything else was going to come out of the audit about this guy Lewis, who's just a puppet for Bevin? Of course, Lewis said that the state ought to take over the JCPS, and not just take it away from the duly elected school board. You know, the people were elected to do this job, and Marty Polio, the current superintendent, he has been appointed in that position. He is, by all accounts, doing a great job. In fact, Lewis wants to retain Polio, but he wants the state to take over the administration of the Jefferson County public school system. This is going to be a big battle. The teachers union, Brent McKim, is certainly against it. All the school board members are against it. So there's going to be a fight. It's probably going to end up in court. It's probably going to end up costing the taxpayers a whole lot of money. And if you ask me, it's just because of Bevin's friggin' ego that we're going through all this. You know, there's plenty of ways to improve the schools. And you got to believe a lot of good people are doing the right thing in the school system to try to improve things. But you also got to realize the things they point at as negatives are inherent sometimes in big time public school systems. The achievement gap between black students and white students. That's not unique to Louisville. That's a problem a lot of places have. And here's what I think. You know, for Bevin to think that the state and people that he appoints who don't live here can do a better job of managing the local school system than people that live in the neighborhoods and who are elected by their constituents to be on that board. I've got plenty of complaints about the school board, but I've sent three young men through the Jefferson County Public Schools. I'm a product of it myself, and you know, you get a darn good education if you want to. I think that's the thing. You know, people that don't want to, that are forced to go, maybe they don't achieve as much. But if you have ambition, and if you're a parent and your children, you push them, you make sure that they do their homework and that they participate in school activities, you can get a darn good education. I would say better than many of the private school ones there. So that's what I think about those two political issues. So we'll move on as we're enjoying Derby Week. There's a lot of things going on around town. I wanted to point out a couple of things that sort of hit me as something worth talking about. And number one, on Tuesday night, as part of the parade preview, there was a Kentucky Colonels reunion. And it's been 50 years, I guess, since the Colonels' first season in 67-68. And they had like 20-something players come back. And a couple of them had books out. Artis Gilmore, I heard on the radio a couple of times. And he was a legendary figure. I got a story about the Colonels. You know, they were big on local promotions. They're sort of like a minor league baseball team. The Colonels were the upstart ABA, the challenger to the NBA. I'm telling you all this because I talked to somebody about it today, and they didn't know anything about the ABA and the red, white, and blue basketballs that were used. But anyway, I was in junior high at Iroquois Junior High and played on a basketball team, and we got to play at Freedom Hall before a Colonels game once, and it was a thrill. But the one thing I don't remember anything about the game, but the one thing I remember was walking in the hallway after our game ended, and the Colonels were coming back out on the floor, and I'm like 5'7", an eighth grader, and I walked by Artis Gilmore, and I had never seen anything so freaking tall. He's 7'3", and I heard on the radio, so he was 7'3" and had a 32-inch waist. Boy, he was a heck of a basketball player. The other guy's Dan Issel, who's involved in the effort to bring an NBA team to Louisville now, was here at the reunion. Louis Dampier, I've run into a few times. And, you know, there were some great names. I got to remember those of you who remember this will bring a smile to your face if you remember Wendell Ladner, famous for crashing into water coolers and had a very flamboyant personality. He was a member of the team. So anyway, the Colonels were back in town. I think that my memory serves me. They won the ABA championship in 1975. I believe that I was on Freedom Hall and in Freedom Hall and rushed the court when that game ended against the I think they beat the Pacers to win the championship that year. So anyway, nice memories of the Colonels. But what, you know, I can get started on some of the things I've done this week. And the highlight probably so far has been the ribbon cutting at the Rabbit Hole Distillery. Now, a few weeks ago, you remember I had Kaveh Zamanian on the show. He's very proud of what he's accomplished, and he deserves to be. He has single-handedly created this beautiful building. He's the force behind it. This beautiful building in Nulu. It's between Jefferson and Market Streets, and right behind the Green Building, and it's spectacular. And I couldn't believe the crowd that was on hand at the event. I got a lot of comments on my Facebook page. I posted several photos from the event, but man, the number of people there and the high-powered people. Of course, the mayor made a speech, and there was just a lot of people. I saw so many people who had been on the Rusty Satellite Show in attendance, you know, from Barbara Sexton Smith, the councilman, Gil Holland, I got a chance to speak to, Eric Gregory of the Kentucky Distillers Association spoke. A lot of people don't realize this, but Mike Maloney, who works in the mayor's office, is he originally bought the property that is the Taj Bar on in Nulu, and I remember because I was around. There was nothing there in those days in the early 2000s. I think when Mike was having impromptu parties every Friday night at that event, and the trolley hop was a big thing. But Nulu certainly come a long way after the ribbon cutting over at Rabbit Hole. I went across the street, and the brand new Marriott AC Hotel is now open, and it is a first class hotel. I mean, I just walked through the lobby and sort of piddled around a little bit, and a great new addition to our city. They made it. The goal was to open by Derby Week, and they had guests. I talked to one of the people there hosting at the hotel, and they had guests. Everything was going as planned as usual, and what another great addition to our city, that hotel, the Marriott AC, right there in Nulu. What a good thing. So things are going to happen. I told you I got to speak to Gil Holland. He is going to be our speaker at the next Breakfast of Champions. It is on next Tuesday, the Tuesday after Derby. Gil is going to be talking about the Portland Investment Initiative and some of the things he's done down there. Turns out Gil spoke to this group 8 years ago in 2010, and he's a great speaker. And it's not too late to go. You don't have to make a reservation or anything, but it's bring $20 to the University Club on campus at 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday, and you'll hear some really good stuff going on in our city from Gil Holland. Also talked to Gil about a little story that I was interested in, because on my passport project, I've been doing a lot of work in Portland and talking to people down there, and I just learned that, surprisingly, the Tim Faulkner Gallery has shut down in Portland. Tim, who I spoke to about this, said they're going to open up at an undisclosed location in Paristown Point area, which is on East Broadway, just shy of Barrett if you're coming from downtown. He it's not a big secret or anything. He just hasn't finished all the lease details, etc., on there. I suspect that that the move out of Portland is a little bit of a reaction to the backlash that has come their way since that shooting. I think it was a little over a year ago, because when I talked to Tim, it was like the 1 year anniversary. There was a shooting down there. An unfortunate young lady lost her life during an event at the Faulkner Gallery downtown. Now, Gil told me that they already have somebody signed up for that giant space. And one of the things Faulkner was talking about was that the space was basically too big down there. So we'll see what happens. Somebody is going to come in there. That's going to be a new story in the very near future. All right, so I did go to the backside on Wednesday, what is becoming a Derby tradition for me, to go hang out in that cool atmosphere. The weather was perfect. A lot of people over there. And I got to see some of the horses. I saw Justify walk by. At 7:30, they bring the Derby horses out there, and it was amazing. As soon as the clock hit 7:30, here comes Bob Baffert walking toward the track, and got a lot of people around him and with him, and Justify, which is a majestic, beautiful, big old horse, was the first one out. So that was interesting. He's number 7, which gives me another reason to sort of like him. I like Justify, and also like Audible, which is number 5 on Saturday. So keep that. One great Rusty Satellite alumni that I saw over there was Chris Pointer. You remember, I've talked to Chris about his job then was the mayor's right-hand man. He did all the scheduling and stuff for the mayor. He left that job a little while ago, and he works for Brown Foreman, and he's promoting Woodford Reserve, and seems very happy with that. Very, very happy. So you never know who you're going to see in that area. The backside, it's not so much a secret anymore, but a lot of people like to go over there. You get really close to the horses. You really see what goes on in terms of preparing a thoroughbred for racing. So it was very exciting. All right. And along the way, in terms of Derby Week, I did want to mention this on our other podcast that I do with co-host Carolyn McLean. I had Andre Wilson, who is the he started a company called Style Icon, and I encourage you to listen to this podcast, because Andre is he's a trip. He's a great guy. And he has started this business. He's an entrepreneur, and he's into fashion. You know, he is. He knows what he's talking about. He designed, believe it or not, what I used to say, those ugly Derby Festival coats that the Derby Festival board members wear around town. But he's improved them a bit. They're like a fuchsia color this year, and the Pegasus horse that's on them. Well, you know, they used to be really small. They look like people had bugs crawling all over, but they're different now, and so I think Andre really improved on that. He told us, if you listen to the podcast, you'll hear about his schedule and a lot of things that go on in terms of his working with celebrities, which is, I guess there's a lot of celebrities in town, so that's another great thing that is happening this week. I think I'm going to go out at the track on Thursday and of course on Saturday if all goes well. We are certainly looking forward to that. It's a magical place, and they get 170,000 people over there. If you can fight through the crowds and get through the traffic. And a reminder, if you're just happened to woke up and didn't know what was going on, the track has changed quite a bit, and there is no public parking on the grounds of Churchill Downs. You have to have a pass to get in there, and I am anxious to see what that parking situation is going to be like. I think the best option is park at the fairgrounds or Papa John's Stadium and take a shuttle. That's the best bet. Or take a Uber or Lyft. I'll be out there. You might get me. I'll be driving a little bit this weekend, hoping to make some money, because that's what you do, right? That is the thing to do. So anyway, that concludes that segment. I want to get to my Bourbon City guest of the week, who is Andrea Wilson, who has a wonderful title. She's the Master of Maturation at Michter's. And Michter's is located, they make Michter's Bourbon right over there in Shively, right off 7th Street. And I was in that building for the first time and saw their operation. It's very cool, and the big news is that Michter's is building a tourist attraction in the Fort Nelson building right downtown on Main Street across from the Slugger Museum. It should be a spectacular place, another great addition to the Bourbon Trail, along with Rabbit Hole, and I'm sure you've heard that in June, Old Forester is opening up. So very excited about that, and very excited to see this project down at Michter's, because they have restored an old building. Unfortunately, there was a tragedy there several years ago. Some economic development officials on a tour, but Michter's announced this project a long time ago. What seems like a long time ago, but now it's in the stretch. It's headed for home. And Michter's is going to be something to see. So please take a listen to my interview here with Andrea Wilson, the Master of Maturation at Michter's.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show today is at Michter's over in Shively, believe it or not. And I'm with Andrea Wilson, who is the Master of Maturation here. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. It's great to be on this show. I'm very excited about it.
Well, good. Well, I have no idea before I came in what a Master of Maturation is. What exactly does that entail?
So I support the master distiller, and I look after all of the aging casks. So all the stuff related to wood preparation, inclusive of naturally seasoning the wood. So, for example, at Michter's, we age our wood for at least 18 months outside to allow the wood to break down, so it gets rid of green characters, astringency, okay, and bitterness. But then toasting profiles, which is like heating the barrels so you can get different flavor compounds extracted from the wood. And then, of course, charring, which everybody knows associated with bourbon. But then I also look after the procurement of the barrels, the repeatability of the cooperages, the monitoring of the maturing quality of the products, so as okay, they're aging. And then I help support the master distiller with cask selection.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting job. Where do you go to school to become that?
Well, I went to the University of Louisville. I'm a very proud Louisvillian, so I graduated with my Master of Chemical Engineering from the University
okay,
of Louisville.
So that's what it takes. A little science, of course. But we're here talking about Michter's, and you're our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, because you have a great new facility, in addition to this wonderful spot in Shively. At the Fort Nelson building downtown, it's at, what, 8th and Main?
8th and Main.
Okay. And that's an amazing project, going to be a great tourist attraction, a lot of things going in there. Tell us about that project.
Yeah, so it's a great old building. If people aren't familiar with the Fort Nelson building, it's actually named after the old fortification that was on the shores of the Ohio River for the frontier. And it's an amazing building. It's beautiful cast iron architecture. We're second to Soho, New York, in the number of buildings we have with the cast iron architecture. Okay. In Louisville. The building itself goes back to 1870s. It has gone through various unfortunate natural events. So there was a horrible tornado in 1890, okay, but what's amazing is the building still remains standing while buildings around it took significant damage. And then in
I think that it ultimately was had some work done on it. It was held for many years, did lots of different things, underwent the 1937 flood of all things, and is still standing. Unfortunately, tragically, it was almost about ready to fall down. A couple of individuals with Louisville Development Corporation were unfortunately injured severely in a stairwell collapse. And the family that now owns it, Joe Malioko, the Malioko family, they have decided to invest in that building and preserve it. So it's been a massive project to preserve the building with the National Historic Registry looking over and overseeing. And we're very proud to be able to showcase not only the preservation of the building, but inside we will also have our old pot stills from our heritage of our brand, which once was in Pennsylvania. So we have the old pot stills from Pennsylvania. We will actually operate the distillery down there. It's small. Will only be about a barrel a day operation, but has great heritage. It will tell the story of, you know, great companies like Vendome Copper and Brass Works, who is also here locally. They actually originally built those stills for us, and also are responsible for our stills here in Shively.
Well, I remember when this project was announced. It seems like many years ago now, and you know, since then, of course, we've had a lot of other tourist attraction / distilleries open in downtown, but you're kind of taking a while to get there.
Yeah,
because of the building, I guess.
I think we always laugh internally. It's like, I think we were the first to announce, but I think we'll be the last to open. but certainly a lot of that is attributed to the work. We had to work with great architects, Joseph and Joseph Architects. We've worked with Sullivan and Cozart, who did a fantastic job of helping us stabilize structurally the building. Worked with Mr. Gettelfinger, who's a great structural engineer here locally. And now we have the pleasure of working with Schaefer Construction, who's been doing a lot of the interior now work for us.
Because you don't really see a lot right now from the outside. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's stuff going on inside.
Yes, lots of interesting stuff going on inside. And I don't want to give too many breadcrumbs, but certainly a lot of the interior was preserved. We've refinished it, brought it back into the building, so people will get to see some beautiful interior work. We will have certainly the distillery. We will have a gift shop, tasting room. We will have a beautiful bar. Thanks to the state of Kentucky.
Let's talk about the bar.
And so, it's going to be, it's a really exciting project, and we're looking super forward to hosting not only people from the community, but from all over the world.
Okay. Well, you know, we're talking here, it's Derby Week, but so your place is not open, and do you have a solid date yet, or is it just?
I think we stopped giving dates a long time ago because we just figured out we couldn't meet them. But I think it's safe to say at this point we're trying to open this fall. That is the target for us. And, you know, so hopefully people will get to get in and see us for the holiday season. So,
And you'll keep this Shively. This is where you are producing the bulk of your product, right?
Yes, that's correct. This is our main manufacturing facility, and our only manufacturing facility. We've had a long journey since the family acquired the abandoned trademark in the 90s. We kind of first sourced some barrels, kind of brought back the brand, and then second phase was really contract distillation, where we developed our mash bill and our yeast and essentially had someone else make it for us for a fee. And then the third phase was the full build-out. This facility in its entirety is 78,000 square feet, and we employ a little over 30 people here, and we'll obviously be employing people downtown as well.
Okay.
So we continue to grow. It's a very exciting time for us. We're exporting to over 50 countries globally now as well, so it's a big time for us.
So I love the story. There's nobody named Joe Michter around because I'm always interested in the origin of the name. So how did we come to to know what Michter's is. How did that come to be?
Yeah, so the heritage of the brand actually sits in Pennsylvania. It started with a gentleman, John Schenck, and he was a Swiss Mennonite farmer making rye whiskey. Changed hands a couple times, sadly closed during Prohibition, like so many great distilleries. And then in the 50s, it was picked up by a gentleman, Lou Foreman. Lou Foreman actually had two sons, Michael and Peter, and he ultimately merged their two names together to make the name Michter's. So a lot of people, while they want to think,
Peter.
Yeah, it's so it's kind of cute when people say, can I have some Michael Peter?
Well, it sounds like you're all set to be a tour guide at the new place. So, you know, it's amazing that you know, downtown Louisville, I mean, it's great to have Michter's coming in, but, you know, the Evan Williams, the Peerless, the Rabbit Hole, the Old Forester, all this action, bourbon tourism, you know, there's never too many, I guess.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's too many at all. And I you know, the mayor always talks about bourbonism, which is kind of this combination of bourbon and great Kentucky bourbon and tourism. And I think what's happening is you're actually starting to see Louisville become a destination. I think the last 3 years, I think I read something, the mayor said that there was over $12 billion of construction projects going on here in Louisville. Obviously, the Omni Hotel is just open. There's other boutique hotels going in. Great restaurants, great bars, great attractions, which will make it wonderful for people coming from all over, just even if it's for a little weekend, you know, getaway, or, you know, maybe sure. something longer. So it's really becoming a wonderful destination.
Well, Michter's is going to be special with the architecture and the historic building and the story behind it. But what is the, you know, what is the distinctiveness of Michter's? What makes it what it is?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Well, so there's a lot of beautiful, wonderful Kentucky bourbons, but I think the greatest challenge for consumers right now is what makes each one of them different. I would say to you the things that we do here at Michter's that are slightly different is that we are fortunate to have private ownership who allow us to invest in the quality of our product. We enter our whiskey into wood at 103 entry proof, which is very low by industry standard. You can enter into the barrel up to 125 proof by the industry standard. Mm-hmm. But entering at lower proof, we get a lot more water in the barrel, allows a lot of, the water is a catalyst for a lot of great barrel chemistry. So that's wonderful. We heat cycle our barrels. You know, Kentucky's great for aging because you get a lot of changes in the seasons. We actually try to mimic that by heating our warehouse up and naturally cooling it down in the winter months. So okay. We get a lot of beautiful utilization of the barrel.
So you don't just let the weather take care of it. You artificially raise yep. and lower the temperature.
Which, yes, we do.
I mean, that is different because yeah. I've seen mm-hmm. at other places. And is that all done right here?
It is all done right here in Shively. We have other warehouses that are littered around the landscape of Kentucky.
Okay.
We've recently acquired some additional land out in Springfield, Kentucky, that will allow us to continue to expand our operations, and we're excited to continue okay. to grow here in Kentucky across the community.
Yeah, well, and that's interesting. And the experience, now the Fort Nelson building, I only know from the outside, it's like four or five stories, right?
Four.
Mm-hmm. Is it four? So you're using all four stories? I mean, you know, I'm trying to imagine what the tour is going to be like.
Yeah, so we will use a couple of the floors, and then, you know, it's a bit like Disney in that there will be things to come back, you know, for future years to come. So I think the focus is really trying to get open and share our story, and then we will continue to expand as we go.
I know I was reading in a bourbon magazine in your lobby about getting some distinctions, some awards recently, and you must be proud of the product.
Yes, we are very proud. We're very proud of the team here. There's a lot of really great people who work here at Michter's, and
You said it's distributed in a lot of countries as well.
Yes,
around the world.
It's distributed across the U.S. It's also distributed globally, and we're very proud of that. I mean, I often say that there's, you know, we're distributing to we're exported to 50 countries globally, which is more people than we actually have working here. So, you know, it's a pretty amazing thing that's happened with just such a small group of people. We're kind of a small batch team here.
Okay.
Everything we do is either small batch or single barrel, but you know, we're still limited in production. We're still limited release company. Our batches, our tanks are actually only sized for the equivalent of 20 full barrels. So after aging, it's about 24 casks in a batch. So it's very small. Our attention to detail, our discipline to be able to be consistent at that level of production is pretty amazing. We focus a lot on, you know, not only the artistry, the beautiful artistry of Kentucky bourbon, but we also focus on the science of it and the repeatability and the consistency of the quality.
All right. Very good. Well, very interesting. I'm glad I got to know about Michter's, and looking forward to coming down there this fall.
All right. Y'all come see us.
And yes, I have been a little long-winded this week. This is Rick Redding, your host here on the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Bill. Thanks to Melissa Marvel for coming by the studio, and to Andrea Wilson for hosting me over at Michter's as our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. It's been a lot of fun. I hope you're enjoying Derby Week. I've already met some great visitors from out of town. I met some people from Australia yesterday. It's a great time. This is the best week of the year in the city. A few reminders. I'll tell you that next week, one of my guests is going to be Steve Smith, who has hosted me over at Louisville Stoneware, which I hadn't been to before. And that is a spectacular thing. That's where the Paris Town Point development is going in, and Kentucky Center for the Arts is having will have a performance venue there. It's really going to be great. Steve told me all about it, and so I encourage you to come back next week and listen to my interview with Steve Smith. Meanwhile, here's all the ways you can keep up with things that are very interesting. The Eat, Drink, Talk podcast right here on the Louisville.am network airs every Tuesday right here on Louisville.am. You can also find that one on iTunes with my co-host Carolyn McLean. It's a very entertaining show about fun things to do in the city. Also, you can keep up with a lot of the important news at LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. That's our website that I operate, along with RustySatelliteShow.com. And, you know, the show is on iTunes, and we are on Twitter at Rusty Satellite. Encourage you to get in touch, suggest a guest, anything you want to get across to me as the host of the show. I've been doing this for almost 5 years now. We're coming up on 5 years, if you can believe it. And very happy to be with you once again, and happy to be here for Derby Week in the greatest city, at least for 1 week a year, I think the greatest city in the country. All right, my thanks once again to the sponsor of the show, the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau, who bring you the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, my friends at Passport Health Plan, and my great buddies over at Kaiser Health. Thank you for joining me on the show, and enjoy the Derby, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Rick E. Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.